All right, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Vava Kama daf Kuf Yud Gimel. Marenu left off yesterday. Kuf Yud Beis Amud Beis, four lines up from the bottom of the Amud. Today's shiur is sponsored by Dr. David Lander in honor of his wife and children, and Lila Nishmas, his mother, Golda Bas Simcha LeHashalom. It's also sponsored by Daniel Sadian for the success of Klal Yisrael in these times, and Hatzlocha for our soldiers and our captives. And it's also sponsored by Eli and Brina Gantrow in honor of the second yard site of Ellie's father, Dr. Mendy Gantra, Menachem Mendel Yitzchak, and Rav Moshe Zalman, whose yard site is today, the Neshama Shel Evan Aliyah. It's also sponsored by Rosie and Mark Friedman, Lila Nishmas, Mark's father, Rabbi Morris Friedman, Rav Shmuel Moshe Ben Yechiel Dov HaKohen, whose yard site is tomorrow. And it's also sponsored by Samuel Kadish in honor of the Shir and for the thousands of Dafim of Gemara and countless ideas and words of Torah that Mirenu taught the Shear's attendees. I'm able to ad-lib this morning on that sponsorship. So we thank all the sponsors very, very much for their sponsorship and support of the Shear. So today we are going to cover, say, probably about like two primary topics. So the long daf. So the first topic that we're going to cover is a little bit about a Shliach Beis Din, who is charged with summoning somebody to Din. Is he believed that the person is refusing to come to Beis Din? L'may nafkamina, because we excommunicate somebody. We put somebody in a shamta if the person refuses to come to Beis Din. So if we charge a shliach Beis Din with the job of summoning somebody to court, and he reports back and says, the guy's refusing to come to court, what do we do with that? Do we believe that as edus? Do we not believe that as edus? Do we believe a woman to say that that somebody refused to come to court for the purpose of putting that person in cherem? When exactly do we summon people to come to Beis Din? What's the process? How many times do they have to shirk their obligation before we excommunicate them? There were certain days when we would not serve a summons to come to court. We'll explain why. So that's basically going to be the first part of the daf. And then we're going to get to a Mishnah on Kuf Yud Gimel Amud Aleph in the middle that talks about not accepting change or not changing money with tax collectors or with gabayim. Then the reason is, and when we say gabayim, we don't mean a gabay in shul, we mean a gabay tzedakah. And the reason is because we're afraid that most of what they have in their possession is stolen. And so we don't want you to benefit. We don't want you to transact with stolen property. That is going to launch the Gemara into a very lengthy discussion about how could you say that tax collectors have stolen money in their possession? If they're collecting taxes, it's because the king is imposing a tax and dina de malchusa dina. So we're going to get into a lengthy conversation, a lengthy discussion about all about dina de malchusa dina. We're going to see, and then that is going to launch into a discussion of gezel nachri, of whether you're allowed to steal from a kanani, from a different type of nachri. And we're going to talk about chilul Hashem, kiddush Hashem, whether you have to return the aveda, the lost object of a nachri. So a lot about dina de malchusa dina and the attendant halachas that have to do with whether you're allowed to steal from or otherwise take advantage of a nachri. So very interesting sugyas in today's daf. So again, Marina left off yesterday. Kuf Yud Beis Amud Beis, four lines up from the bottom. That's where we're going to begin right now. Middle of the line, Amar Ravina. So says Ravina, Hai Shlucha de Rabbanan, a court messenger, Mehemna Lekabe Trey. He's believed like two people. What does it mean he's believed like two people? It means that if he says that I tried to deliver a summons to a litigant and the litigant is refusing to appear in court, he is believed like two witnesses. He has the power of two witnesses. Says the Gemara, Bahani mili l'shamta. That is only to excommunicate the litigant. Aval l'pesicha. However, to write the shtar shamta, to write the shtar of excommunication, kiman de mamona kamachasrele, because you are causing him a loss of money. How are you causing him any more of a loss of money than by excommunicating him? Excommunicating him sounds like a pretty harsh repercussion, and we're going to believe the Shliach Beis Din for the purpose of putting the guy in cherem, yet we're not going to believe the Shliach Beis Din for the purpose of writing the shtar that evidences that the guy was put in cherem. Says the Gemara, the reason is, the kaboy le'lamesav le'zuzel le'safrei. Lo, because we are going to force him to spend money because he has to pay. In other words, the defendant in the litigation who refuses to come to Beis Din has to bear the court costs. So he has to bear the cost of the sofer writing up the shtar of the excommunication, of the shtar of excommunication. And because that is going to cost him money, we are not going to force him to spend money on the testimony of a single witness. The Maram Shik is bothered. What's the chiddush over here that the shliach Beis Din is believed to say that the litigant is refusing to come to court, and based on that word, we're going to put the guy in cherim? The Gemara right now is going to say that a woman is also believed. So if a woman is believed, why should the shliach Beis Din not be believed? And the Maram Shik explains, no, the woman is believed only if you make her a shliach to tell the guy this thing. And the chiddush is that the shliach osa shlichuso. However, the shliach Beis Din has nemonas not because he's a shliach, not because he's believed to carry out the shlichus, but he has an inherent nemonas, is the way the Maram Shik explains it. Okay, so says the Gemara now weiter. So Amar Ravina, Yavina and Zimna Apuma de Issa, we can give Zman on the word of a woman, meaning that a woman is believed to say, if we tell a woman, you should go to so and so litigant and you should tell him that he has to appear in court next Monday, and she says, oh, I did that, she's believed to say that she actually told the guy about the court summons. Va'apuma de shivavi, and also on the word of neighbors. In other words, you don't need two edim. You don't need an official court messenger to go summon somebody to court. It's enough that you tell a woman or that you tell any of his neighbors, oh, tell Reuven when he comes back home that he has to appear in court next Monday or next Thursday. But says the Gemara, that's qualified. V'lo amran ela delese b'masa. That's only when he is not in the city today, when the litigant is not in the city. Aval isa b'masa lo damrinan emar amrle damri lo damrinan emar lo amrle damrinan ashkechei shliach basin. However, if the litigant is in the city, then we don't believe that the woman or the neighbor discharged their shlichus. Why? Because they're going to be lazy and they're going to say, why should I go find the guy and say that he has to appear in court? The basin shliach is going to find him. But if the guy's not in the city, then they won't assume that the shliach Beis Din found him, and therefore they're going to take the pains to actually pass along the message. Then says the Gemara further, v'lo amran elo de l'chalaf ababa de beidina, and that's only when the litigant doesn't have to pass by Beis Din in order to get home. However, aval chalaf ababa de beidina, but if the litigant has to pass by Beis Din on the way to get home, lo, then the woman is not believed, or the neighbor is not believed to have satisfied their shlichas, because amri yashkechu beidina v'amrle, because they'll assume that somebody from Beis Din found the guy when he was literally walking by the entrance of the Beis Din and informed him of his summons. V'lo amran elo de lo asi biyome, and that's only when he's not coming. That's only when he's coming home that day. Avalo asi biyome, but if he's not coming home that day, lo, then the woman is not believed to satisfy to fulfill the shlichus. Rather, because ema ishluye ishluye, but we're afraid that maybe they forgot. Maybe they forgot the shlichas. So it turns out the Gemara started by saying that a woman or a neighbor is believed to tell a litigant that he is summoned to court, and then we wound up qualifying so much that the only time the woman is believed is where the guy's not in the city, but he's going to come home that day, and on the way home he's not going to pass by Beis Din. But if any of these three things are not exactly like that, then the woman is not going to be believed, because either she's going to assume that the shliach Beis Din found the guy, or that the Beis Din itself told the guy, or that she's going to forget by the next day when he actually comes home. Says the Gemara Vayter, Amar Rava, Hayman de Kosova Leia Psicha, Al Delo Asi Lidine. If a person has a Shtar Shamta written against him because he refuses to appear in court after he is summoned, Ada Asi Lidina Loma Karina Le. We do not rip it up until he actually comes to Beis Din. Even if he swears to us he's going to come to Beis Din, we don't believe him, we don't rip it up until he comes. al delot sayis ledina, if the reason that he's in cherem, if the reason that we wrote a shtar shamta against him is because he didn't obey a verdict of the court, ad tzayis lamakarina le, until he actually obeys the verdict of the court, we don't rip it up. And then says the Gemara of Elohi, kiven damar tzaisina karina le. No. Once he says, I will obey, then we actually do rip up, the shtar shamta. The Yad Ramah says that that's only true the first time. But if he's already demonstrated his willingness to commit to fulfilling the judgment of the court, the decision of the court, and shirks that responsibility, then the next time he promises he's going to do it, we don't believe him, and then we don't rip up the shtar shamta until he actually complies with the with the verdict of the court. Rashi says, why the nafkamina between if we summon him, we're not going to rip up the shtar shamta until he actually appears. But if the reason that he's in cherem is because he has complied, we're going to rip it up as soon as he commits to paying. Rashi says, well, because the reason that he hasn't paid the judgment, the reason that he hasn't satisfied the verdict of the court is because simply he doesn't have any money. So he's looking for money. So when he promises that he's going to pay, we believe him that he's scrounging for money. He's going to try to borrow money or otherwise find some money to satisfy the judgment of the court. Whereas when it simply comes to appearing in court, there's no money required for that. So if the guy hasn't appeared in court, it's because he's a deadbeat. And so we don't believe a deadbeat when he says that he's then going to come to court the next day. Says the Gemara of Aitar, Amar Rav Chista, Koven Zman Sheni V'Chamishi V'Sheni, where Koveya Zman Sheni V'Chamishi V'Sheni. In other words, when we summon a guy to court, we basically tell him, listen, you give him 3 Azmanas to come to court. So remember, the Beis Din used to sit on Monday and Thursday. So they would basically give him a bahab in order to come to court. They would say, listen, you're summoned to come to court next Monday, and then the Thursday of that week, and then the following Monday of the next week. And Zimna, Vizimna, Basar Zimna, that in other words, you tell him about it, and then Zimna, the Basar Zimna. So it's basically 3 times. Ulamachar, and the next day, meaning on Tuesday after the second Monday, Kazvinan. Then, if he hasn't come to court yet, we write the Shtar Shamta. So what the Gemara has now done is it's clarified when we say that when we talk about writing a Shtar Shamta for a person failing to appear in court in response to a summons, the summons isn't a one-time summons. The summons is a 3-part summons. In other words, come to court Monday or Thursday or Monday. So when he doesn't come to court, he's obviously shirking a greater responsibility. He's demonstrated a more longer standing ability and willingness to disregard the order of the court. So Rav Asi ikla be Rav Kahana. Rav Asi visited Rav Kahana. Chazahi he saw a certain woman, Dazmina Ladina, Befania, that she was summoned to court in the evening. Ubitzafran, in the morning, Kosav Alei Psicha, he already wrote the Shtar Shamta because she didn't show up in court. How can you summon the woman in court one evening and then already by the next morning you're writing a Shtar Shamta? Don't you agree with that Maimer which we just said, that if the person who is summoned to court has to be given a Monday, Thursday, and then another Monday to show up in court? That's only by a man who's busy because he's working and he might not be in the city, he might be traveling on business. But a woman, kivan isa b'masa, because generally women were homemakers in that time and they stayed home, below asya moredesi, and she doesn't come, then already we know that she's a moredes. In other words, we don't have to give her the 3 times because she has no excuse. So the Mefarshim explain that the same thing holds true. The Amshal Shlomo explains the same thing holds true if there's a man who's always around and in the city and he doesn't work and he doesn't travel on business. So the man, it doesn't have anything to do with gender. It just has to do with, like, do you have an alibi for not being able to come to court on the on a dime at the drop of a hat? So if you have a man who's always around because he's retired and he's not working, then he's going to be put in a cherim if he doesn't come right away. And conversely, says the Amshal Shlomo, if you have a woman who is working and busy and or traveling on business, then you would have to give her the Monday, Thursday, Monday before you would actually excommunicate her. Says the Gemara Navaiter, Am Rav Yuda, lo yavin zim lo yavin nisan lo yavin tishrei. We don't serve a hazmana either in Nisan or in Tishrei. Why wouldn't we serve Hazmana in Nisan or Tishrei. So Rashi explains it's because it's the Zman Katzir Ubatzer. It's because, again, in the times of the Gemara, the Jewish economy was mainly, the economy in Israel was mainly an agrarian society, and they were farmers, and so at the time of either planting or harvesting, they were too busy. They were working their fields, and so therefore, you wouldn't summon them to din. That's the way Rashi explains. The Rambam says it has nothing to do with the Zman Katzer or the Zman Batzer. It has to do because it's a busy time, because of Yontif, because Yimei Nisan is Pesach, Yimei Tishrei, we have Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Sukkot. The Rif says we are also not Mazmin somebody in Yimei Sivan. Now the question is, what does the Rif hold? Does the Rif say that we don't give somebody Azmana in Yimei Sivan because he holds like Rashi and Yimei Sivan is the Zman of Tziras Chitin? Or does the Rif hold like the Rambam that the reason that we don't give somebody Azmana in Yimei Sivan is because we don't give somebody Azmana around the Shalosh Regalim, and of course Shavuos is in Sivan, and therefore we're not going to give somebody Azmana and therefore we're not going to give somebody Azmana in Sivan as well. Now the nafkamina also between Rashi and the Rambam is can we give somebody Azmana to appear in Iyar? So if it's because of Yontif, of course, because there is no Yontif in Iyar, so you're allowed to give somebody Azmana for Iyar. If, however, the reason is because of the Zman Katzer and the Zman Batzer, so we have to look and see how long does it take to actually finish the job in the farm. If finishing the job in the farm extends from Nisan into Iyar, then we wouldn't be able to give somebody Azmana for Iyar as well, whereas if it's done, then you would be able to give somebody Azmana for Iyar. Okay, so what we learned in the Gemara so far is that there are certain times that are so busy, either because it's Yontif or because he's working on the farm, that we're not going to give him, he's working in the field, that we're not going to give him an Azmana. And also, lo b'mali yamitova, lo b'mali shedabata. We also don't give somebody Azmana to appear in court on an Erev Shabbos or an Erev Yontif, because they're busy preparing for Shabbos and Yontif. You're not going to force the guy to come to court that day. Aval minisan labasar yom Nisan. However, you're allowed to give Azmana to somebody in Nisan to appear in court after Nisan. Uviyom Tishrei labasar Tishrei. And similarly, you're allowed to give somebody Azmana in Tishrei to appear in court after Tishrei. Kavinan, that we are kavea. However, mimali shabbata labasar mali shabbata lo kavinan. However, you don't serve somebody a summons on Friday to appear in court the next week. My time up, but visited the Shabbos Torah, because he's too busy preparing for Shabbos, and therefore he's going to forget about the Azmana. However, why don't we say that you're not allowed to give somebody Azmana and Nisan to come after Nisan, because you're so busy with Pesach, because the month of Nisan is pretty long, and therefore at some point over the month of Nisan, he's going to remember that he is due in court. But how many of us have had experiences in Erev Shabbos where we're so stressed finishing work, preparing for Shabbos, you totally forget something and then you don't realize until afterwards. So therefore, you're not going to serve Azmana on Erev Shabbos. Zam Rav Nachman, lo yavina zimna lo l'bnei kala b'kala. You don't give it to the b'nei kala during kala. So the b'nei kala are people who would come to hear a shir, a drasha on every Shabbos. So we don't tell them on Shabbos when we see them at the shir, oh, come to court on Monday. V'lo levnei rigla b'rigla. Nor do we give a summons to the people who come to the shir by the regel when they were darshan in the hilchas regel kodem regel. We don't give them the summons when they come to hear. When they come to hear that shir, there is another girsa in Rashi in Maseches Yevamos that says that rigla doesn't mean regel. It doesn't mean the shir that they would have on or before Yontif. It means Yom Misas Talmud Chacham. Basically, it means the day of a yard site. And on the day of a yard site, they would be kaveya a yeshiva at the kever of the tzaddik, at the kever of the Rebbe. And here is a makar for a yard site shir. So, but however you want to explain it, it's if people are coming for a shir, you don't give them the Azmana when they show up to the shir. So, Kiyavosu l'kamei d'Rav Nachman, Amar l'hu, v'chilu d'tchu k'nufayu, v'idna d'ika ramoi chashinan, right? Because in other words, he says, don't take advantage of them. In other words, they're coming to the shir. Don't take advantage by serving them with a summons. However, they said, nowadays, because there were so many ramoim, in other words, there were tricksters, the only reason that they're coming to the shir is because they know that you can't serve them with a summons with a summons during the shiur. So they're smart. They know that if the only time they appear in public is either an Erev Shabbos or an Erev Yontif, Yom Nisan, Yom Tishrei, Yom Sivan, according to the Rif, at the shiur, you're never going to be able to serve them with Azmana. And therefore, we are mazmin them to din even at these shiurim. Says the Gemara in Avaitar at the two dots, Ema yadavar shel sheyesh bo achrayas chayev l'shalim. What we had said was that if a person steals something and then dies, so now his yarshim inherited the stolen item. If it's metaltalin, they don't have to return it. But if it's karka, they have to return it. Then we said that, then it said in the Mishnah, lav dafka karka, but anything that is obviously stolen, they should not keep because it's embarrassing to the family name that they're keeping the stolen object. Says the Gemara, Masni le Rebbe le Reb Shimon Berei. So Rebbe said to Reb Shimon Berei, lo davar sheyesh bo achrayas mamish, lav dafka karka, ela filu para v'choresh ba, even if it's the para that he's plowing with, v'chamor mechamor achrea, or a donkey that he's being mechamer, chayev lahachzer b'nei kavod aviyim, because everybody knows that it's a stolen object. So in other words, if you steal somebody's car and everybody knows that it's the other guy's car that you stole, and then the thief dies, and his kid's driving around with some car that everybody knows is stolen, it's embarrassing to the family name. So boy mine Rav Kana me Rav, mito meitzavala, what if he stole a bed and now he's reclining on it? Shulchan v'yochal alav, he steals a table and now he's eating his dinner around it. So mahu, so what's the halacha there? So amar lo, tein l'chacham v'yach kemod. So you give chacham to a chacham and he becomes smarter. The way the Mefarshim explain is that, yeah, Taka, you're right. In other words, any identifiable object. I was using para and chamor as an example. It's lav dafka, para and chamor. Any object that is identifiable and identifiably stolen, you should return because of kavod of the family. Okay, says the next Mishnah. Now we're going to switch topics. Says the Mishnah, Ein partin lo mi teva samochsim. We do not take change from the box of the collector's box of the tax collector. Lo mi kis shel gaboim, nor from the kis of gaboim, of gaboi tzedakah. They note lemiem tzedakah, nor do we accept tzedakah from them, because we assume that whatever is in their possession is going to be stolen. Aval nota lu mitoch beso o min ashuk. However, if the guy has other assets not in his collector box, we're allowed to take those from him because we don't assume that all of the items in his possession are stolen. We only assume that the items in the box are going to be stolen. Says the Gemara, Tana, avonosin lo dinar. However, if he's collecting a tax, or if you want to give tzedakah, you're allowed to give him a dinar, venosin lo asashar, and you're allowed to accept change. In other words, you're not allowed to go to the guy and say, can you break a five and take five singles? But if you want to give him a dollar and you only have a five, then you're allowed to accept the change. Why would you be allowed to accept the change? Because it's not guaranteed that what's in his thing is gzela, and we're not going to cause you a loss by preventing you from accepting change from him if you only have large bills, if you don't have any small bills. However, to stam change money with him, that we're not going to do because it is gezel. So that's the way Tosfos explains it. Okay, says the Gemara, Vaiter Amoksin. So you're not allowed to take from tax collectors because we're afraid that whatever is in their possession is gezel. Vamer Shmuel dina de malchusa dina. Doesn't Shmuel say that dina de malchusa dina, that if the law of the land says that you have to pay taxes, then this guy is not stealing when he's collecting taxes that the king said he has to collect? And says Rashi, v'zeshe kibul asameches min ha-melech b'davar katzav kach v'kaf l'chol shana in gazlan. If the king says you have to pay 30% of your income is taxes, and this guy is walking around collecting 30% of everybody's income, then he's not a gazlan because he's collecting the tax that the king said to pay. So says the Gemara, Amrav Chinina Bar Kahana, Amr Shmuel b'moches ein lo kitzva. No. It's by a moches that has no set amount. And when it has no set amount, this is not called din. In other words, din l'machus edina is only when the government says you have to pay X amount or X percent. If this guy is willy-nilly collecting an amount that makes him feel good or any amount that he wants, that doesn't have the status of the din. The Rambam explains, no, how could it be that there's a kingdom that doesn't even specify a tax rate or an amount of tax that you're going to have to give? Says the Rambam, no, the king did specify the amount of tax.
this guy is going over and above what the king said.
So that's vadai going to be a case of theft. So the Beit Rav Yane Amri b'mochas omen me'elav. The Beit Rav Yane says, no, in a chanami, there is a concept of dina mochas adina, but over here we're talking about a tax collector who's gone rogue, who's collecting for himself. So if the guy's collecting for himself, then obviously that is going to be theft. Now on the topic of dina de mochusa dina, generally the Rambam explains that everybody who lives in a country accepts upon himself the dinim of that country, and therefore part of the social contract, according to the Rambam, is that you have to listen to the government, you have to abide by its laws. The Ran says a little bit differently. He says, no, it's because the king owns the whole country. So if the king says that you have to give taxes, you have to give taxes because it all belongs to the king anyway. It has nothing to do with like a social contract or a social compact. It has to do with basic ownership of the karka, of the land. And therefore, there's this whole hawk about the Shitas Aran in Eretz Yisrael where the king doesn't own the land because all B'nai Yisrael own Eretz Yisrael, and therefore you shouldn't have to listen to the government. But that's all bogus because, as everybody points out, that only has to do with like a tax where the king is collecting to pad his own coffers. Nowadays, when we pay taxes, it's not to enrich the king. It's to pay for all sorts of social services and improvements, and all of that stuff is really a shutfus. That's got nothing to do with taxes or meches in the way that the Gemara intends it. So we said tax collectors are all thieves. Why isn't it dina mechusa dina? Yeah, it's because the tax collector has gone rogue. However, ika demasi laha. Some talk about in lo kitzva or omed me'elav on the following: lo yilbash adam kalayim. A person is not allowed to wear kalayim afilo agabe asura begadim, even on top of 10 articles of clothing, lavriach lo ad boas ameches, in order to avoid the customs collector. So mastisin lo Rabbi Kiva, and the mission is not like Rabbi Kiva. The Tanya asur lavriach asameches because the Brisa says that you're not allowed to try to evade paying customs. Rav Shimon Omer Mishum Rav Akiva Mutzur Lavriach Asameches, that you're allowed to try to avoid paying customs. So our Mishnah, which had said that you're not allowed to wear shatnez in order to avoid paying customs, is not like Rabbi Kiva. Says the Gemara, what's going on here? Bishlam Alinin Kalayim Bahapligi Kabakam Ifugi. I understand Gabe Kalayim, the argument is as follows: the Mar Savar Davar Shemes Kavin Mutter, Umar Savar Davar Shemes Kavin Usser. In other words, you're not allowed to wear Kalayim. Now over here, you're not intending to have Hanoah from the garment. You're wearing it for the purpose of avoiding taxes. So is that considered to be Levisha? Is that considered to be a Levisha Shatnez or not? But is it mutter to try to avoid paying taxes? Who does that? V'omer Shmuel, dina d'machus adina. The halach is that you have to pay taxes. Samar Rav Chanina bar Kahana, amar Shmuel b'mochesh en lo kisva. No, we're talking about where the tax collector collects an undetermined amount of tax. Rav Yane amar b'mochus amem elav. And Rav Yane says that, no, we're talking about with a tax collector gone rogue. V'yikad amasni aha. And others say that this mochesh en lo kisva, mochesh amem elav, is talking about the following case. Nodrin laharagin ulacharamin ulamochsin. You were allowed to take a neder for murderers, plunderers, or tax collectors, sheichal truma, that an item is of truma, that an item is a truma item, she shall be samelech, or that something is really owned by the king, afal pi sheinishal truma, afal pi sheinishal melech, even though it doesn't belong to the king, or even though it's not shel truma. So the interesting thing is, you are trying to avoid turning over an object to a murderer by saying, oh, you can't take the object, it's truma. What the heck does the murderer care that the object is truma? He's going to kill you. So the Rush said, yeah, there are people who take truma very seriously. There are people who don't want to get into a fight with a king. So they're willing to rob you, they're willing to kill you, but they're not gonna eat truma. Tosfos says over here, very interesting Tosfos, he says that when you are taking the neder, that the item is of truma, you should have in mind that in other words, the neder that you're taking is, oh, this is usher to me if it's not truma, meaning that it's truma, therefore don't take it. Tosfos says, in your mind, you should have some sort of machshava which overrides the basic words of the neder, even though generally we say that dvarim shebelev ain't a dvarim, because over here you're taking the neder under duress, we're going to allow your dvarim shebelev to have effect. And then Tosfos says, then certainly if you're going to...
if you're going to mouth the words with your lips, even if you don't actually articulate them, to somehow override the neder. Says the Gemara, Ula Mokhsin, you're allowed to lie to the Mokhsin and swear that something is true in order to avoid paying taxes. Verma Shmuel, Dina Machusadina. Didn't we say Dina Machusadina? Amr Avchanina Barkan, Amr Shmuel, Bamokha Shain Lo Kitzva. We're talking about where it's not a set amount of taxes. Debe Raviyana, Amr Bamokhas Omen Me'elav. Ravashi, Amr Bamokhas Kanani. We're talking about a Mokhas Kanani. We're talking about a tax collector who's a Kanani. Detanya, Yisrael, the Kanani Anas. That, and the Mokhas Kanani, of course, is somebody who takes more taxes than he's entitled to, and therefore he's a ganav. He's a gazlan. The Tanya Yisrael v'Kanani Anas. If you have a Yisrael and a Kanani robber, Shabo Ladin, who come to court, imatayachol zakeu b'dinei Yisrael zakeu. If you can make the Jewish person win according to the dinei Yisrael, you should employ the Jewish law. V'yamar lo kein dinenu kach dinenu. And you should say, oh, that's our law, and according to our law, I win. Bedine Kananim, if you can facilitate the victory of the Jewish litigants according to their laws, Zakeu, then you should do that. V'yamalo kachten chem, and you should say, oh, your law provides that the Jewish guy wins. V'imlav, and if the Jewish guy doesn't win either in secular law or under Jewish law, bonala bakifin, you have to try to devise some sort of strategy to get the item back from the Kanani robber. Divrei Rabbi Shmuel, that's Rabbi Shmuel sheet. Rabbi Kiva Amar ein bonala bakifin. No, we don't devise a ruse or like some sort of strategy to cheat the goyish guy out of what he's holding. I'm naked the Hashem, because imagine the Chilul Hashem when the guy realizes that you're trying to engineer some sort of ruse in order to force him to give up his money. Rabbi Kiva, time adika kiddush Hashem. According to Rabbi Kiva, the only reason that you don't do it is because you have to be mekadesh Hashem Shemayim. Haleka kiddush Hashem, were it not for the reason of kiddush Hashem, bun, then we would be ba'alav ba'kifim. We would try to employ some strategy in order to get the money back from the Kanani, because we're afraid the Kanani is going to rob the Jewish person ultimately. Says the Gemara, v'gezel Kanani mishari. Using a fancy word, says the Gemara, you're using a strategy, plot. What you're doing is you're stealing from the guy. So stealing from the guy, is that mutter? V'atanyam Rav Shimon Davarzeh Darish Rav Akiva Kishabam me Zefirin. That Rav Akiva Darshan, when he came from Zefirin, minayin legezel Kanani shu asur. How do I know that Gezel Kanani is asur? Tamalomar achrei nimkar geula tielo. That if you have an eved who's sold to a Kanani, you have to let the eved sit in possession of Kanani. Shalo yimshechenu v'yetze. You can't grab the eved and pull him out. The eved is not a hostage, Rachman al-Son. The eved was sold to a Kanani. You're not allowed to steal from him. Yochol Yiglom Alav, I might think you should be foolish with him. So foolish with him, meaning that you should allow the Kanani to collect even more than he's entitled to. Tamalomar v'chishevim koneo. You don't have to let the guy take advantage of you, but you have to deal with him appropriately. Yedaktek him koneo. You have to be medaktek with the person who has been konem with the Kanani. Meaning you can't stomp steal the eved back. Summer of Yosef Lokasha, Abba Kanani, Abba Gertoshav. No. By a Kanani, you're allowed to. By a Gertoshav, you're not allowed to. Amar Le Abaye, Fatarvaya Gabe Adadiksivi. You're not allowed to steal from a Kanani, and you're not allowed to steal from a Gertoshav. Lolacha Elaleger, Shnemar Leger, Velolager Tzedek, Elaleger Toshav, Shnemar Leger Toshav, Mishpachas Ger, Ze Ove Kochavim, Ksho Omer, Ola Eker, Ze Nimkar Love Kochavim. So you're not allowed to steal from anybody. So because it says Vechishevim Koneu. So Ela Amarava Lokasha, Kambigzela. There's a difference between stealing, actively stealing from a Kanani, that is asur. Canceling a loan which is owed to a Kanani is going to be mutter. In other words, you could prevent people from paying him back, but you're not allowed to actually take from him. And Amar Le Abaye, Eved Ivri Hafkoas Halvaasu. And Eved Ivri is Hafkoas Halvaasu. Meaning that an Eved is chayev to work for his master. And when you prevent the Eved from working for his master, it's as if you're preventing him from repaying his debt. So we're not stealing from the Kanani, we're simply preventing the debt from being repaid. Amar Le Abaye, Eved Ivri Hafkoas Halvaasu, Rava LaTamei, and Rava holds according to his own reasons. Amar Rava, Eved Ivri Gufa Kanui. Because Rava says that the guf of the Eved Ivri is Kanui to the Akam, and therefore when you take the Eved, it's not simply that you're foregoing a loan, you're actually actively stealing from him. Amar Bibi Bar Gidol, Amar Rab Shimon Chasida. Gezel Kanani Aser. Gezel Kanani is Aser. You're not allowed to steal from a guy. Avedasa Mutares. However, if you find his Aveda, then you're allowed to keep it. Gzelo Aser. Demarav Huna Minayin. Gezel Kanani Shu Aser. How do I know that Gezel Kanani is Aser? Shnemar Vechaltos Kolam and Masher Shemelkecha Nosin Lecha. That the only time you're allowed to take from other nations is when Hashem gives them over to you. In other words, Bizman Shem Misurim Biyadcha. Below Bizman Shem Misurim Biyadcha. Only in a time of war are you allowed to plunder the enemy. Not in a time of war, you are not allowed to go plunder the enemy. So avedasa muteres, right? That's what the rabbi spoke about a couple of weeks ago by Shalosh Udas, with the soldiers who found the fake Rolexes in Gaza. Soldiers didn't realize that they were fake Rolex, but they probably were, but they wanted to take them. It's a time of war, so are they allowed to plunder? But generally, you're not allowed to walk over to a guy in the street and take something from him. However, avedasa muteres, if he loses something, then, if he has a lost object, then it's going to be mutter to keep it. The Yamar Rav Chama Bar Gur Yamar Rami Nain Lavedos Akanani Shumuter Shnemar Lachol Avedos Achicha. That you have to. There's a chiyav hashava by Avedos Achicha. Lachicha Tamachzer Via Tamachzer Liknani. You have to return to your Jew, but not to a guy. Vemahani Milehechad Lo Asid Liyadei Lo Mechayev Ladurei Basra Aval Hechad Asid Liyadei Emelahadre. I might think, no, that exemption means I don't have to go out of my way to try to return a lost object. But if it happens to be in my possession, maybe I do have to return it. Amravino matzasa da'asi l'di'ila de'mashva. No, matzasa means that you don't have to return it, even if it appears in your hand. Now, this the Meiri explains, and this is an important distinction, that this concept of not having to return the aveda of a Kanani and taking advantage of a Kanani only applies by the type of Kanani that the Gemara is referring to him. In other words, a type of Kanani, and that's the type of Kanani that the Chumash refers to, meaning that they don't have any moral or justice system. However, Goyim in our day, where the fact that a person is a Goyim might believe in another God, even though it's not a Kadosh Baruch Hu, he still abides, he's a moral person, he abides by a judicial and by a social by social norms, you're not allowed to steal or otherwise take advantage from them, says the Meiri. Says the Gemara in Avaiter, Tanya, Rabbi Pinchas ben Yair Omer, B'makom sheyesh chilal Hashem, in a time where there will be chilal Hashem, afilu avedaso aser, you're not even allowed to keep his aveda. Somer Shmuel to uso muteres. However, a mistake of a Kanani is going to be mutter. In other words, the classic example, if you go into a store and the person doesn't charge you enough, or if the person gives you too much change, that you don't have to correct. The Meiri says, you're not allowed to be goreim, you're not allowed to cause the Kanani to make a mistake, but if the Kanani makes a mistake, then zachalo, then you don't have to return it. Now, of course, if you want to be mekadesh shem shamayim, and point out the toss, like we often do, say, oh, you gave me too much change, you didn't charge me enough, says the Rambam, that's a great thing. Kavala bracha. Kiyad Shmuel, Zavan Mekuti Lakana Dadava. Shmuel bought a gold bowl from a kuti, Bamar de Parzala, and the kuti thought it was a copper bowl, Bedalad Zuze, for four zuz, V'ivalechad Zuze, and he paid up one additional zuz. In other words, because he knew he was taking advantage of the guy. The guy thought he was selling a copper bowl. Really, it was gold, so he overpaid him by $1. Instead of $4, he paid him $5. The Rishonim are bothered. Why didn't Shmuel take advantage of the opportunity to make a Kiddush Hashem? Okay, Kasha. Rav Kana Zavim Mikuti Meyav Esrim Chavisa. Rav Kana bought 120 barrels of wine B'meya, and when the Kuti thought he was selling 100, Vivolei Chazuz, and he added one Zuz to the purchase price to show that he was being generous. Amarle Chazi De'aloch Kasamichna. And he said, oh, see, I'm relying on you, meaning I'm not even counting the number of barrels that I'm getting. Again, Akasha, why didn't take, why he felt he could take advantage and not point out the mistake. Ravina Zavandiklahu Vakuti Litzalcha. Ravina and Akuti went into a partnership. They bought a dekel tree for the purpose of cutting it up. Amarle Lashamei, Kodam Vaisime Karo, Tekusi Minyana Yada. Go take from the base of the dekel tree because Akuti only knows the minion. In other words, Akuti only knows the division, but he's not going to focus on the fact that the base of the decal tree is the better part of the tree to take. Just a couple of more lines. Rav Ashi Yavi Kazel Borcha. Rav Ashi was on a journey. Chaza Shipsha de Gufna Bapardisa. He saw a branch in a paradis. Fatoli Bakitufe di Invi. And a bunch of grapes were hanging on the branch. Amrle Lashame Zil Chazi Idakuti Niu Isi. If they belong to a Kuti, bring them to me. Idi Yisrael Ninu Lo Isi. If the cluster of grapes belong to a Jew, don't bring them to me. Shema Ukuti Daviyasa Bapardisa. Amrle Dakuti Shari. Akusi heard this conversation and said, you're allowed to steal from a Kuti? Amrle Kuti shakal dummy, Yisrael lo shakal dummy. No, you misunderstood. I didn't mean that you should steal it. I meant that I wanted you to pay for it. But because I'm Rav Kahana, I knew that a Jew is not going to accept money, but I didn't want to take it for free. So if it was a Kuti who I knew would accept money from me, then I would allow the I would allow my assistant to take the grapes. All right, we'll stop here. We'll pick up from Gufa tomorrow. Everybody have a great day and a wonderful Shabbos. Shama should have an Aliyah, Rebelli.